So, welcome back to part two of Tuesday, 27th of September, Live with Linda and Friends. So, my dear friends, who would like to share something you got, some part of that was, you know, particularly interesting? Waiting. Some color, image, feeling, message. I got such a wonderful message, and I'm just totally blanking on it. Interesting. But my feeling, while somebody's getting ready to share, just the feeling of having my feet on the earth and sitting with my back against the tree. And to remember in my walks to really connect with Mother Earth. It takes so little time, and just to be conscious and making that connection. That's basically what I got. Who wants to unmute and share something from that time? Nancy, we haven't heard from you for a while. How was that from you? What's something you take away from that?
Okay. There you are. I didn't hear any messages, and I don't know if it's because my mind has been cluttered for a while. We just got back from the West Coast, and pretty complicated few weeks. And I don't know if I'm still clearing my mind to listen for messages or not. But I wanted to hear something.
I got it. And what about, like, did you have any feeling of connection with imagining your body against the tree, or?
I did feel that, and I really appreciated it. Like I needed it, you know. It was a very restful feeling. And it was a maple tree, which I love the West Coast, the maples on the West Coast that we can't grow here in Wisconsin like there. So it was really restful. It was a lovely place, and I want to go back. But I wasn't getting anything from the tree other than the sense of comfort.
And that may be what you were meant to get.
Yeah.
And when I said, you know, you can be there and here at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you know, just taking moments to feel whether you're hugging it or moving against it, it'll be interesting to see if you just seconds of thinking of that, being in the forest with that.
Yeah, I'll go back.
Great, thanks. Karen, how about you? What part did you take away?
When the tree give the message that your littlest angel is here, she's always here with you. And that's the message. So very touching.
Beautiful.
I hadn't been having her on the carpets before. So
may we see her?
Am I to describe, you mean?
Yes.
Mm.
your littlest angel.
She was a little blind girl that got on the bus, and all talking. I don't know. It was just quiet. All you could see was her, and her aide sat her down. She sat next to me, and she reached over to get my arm. And the aide said, "Oh no, come away." And I said, "No, she's getting to know me." Oh. And so she, and we only rode together for about 4 blocks, and she was discovering my arm. And then I went to teach my Feldenkrais class, and one of my students said, "Whatever you got, I want it." Because I had clearly changed in that interaction. So anyhow, it was a very special, special little angel. And every once in a while, I think of her. Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating? 4 blocks.
And yes. That
special soul is with you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And everything was totally silent on a city bus. That never happens. Yeah.
Incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
You know, it was so, one of the things in the celebration with Edie Jane, one of the things that she had written, that Edie had written recently, is the fact that how incredible it was for her as a senior to have this, because this 8-year-old was like all over her. She's just an amazing being that Edie Jane became responsible for. She's and the grandfather of the child was living with them also. But she said, just like, and just to think, I mean, I can feel when you say that, just this hand on your arm. Amazing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Have that stay with you and be able to share that with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's so fascinating. That's why, I mean, sometimes we're so shy to, or think we, oh well, what we have to say isn't very special, but it, when you speak it out, something happens specially. Connie, what was special for you? What are you taking away from that time? Down on the bottom. Oh, there you go. Okay, you're unmuted now.
Sorry, I couldn't hear what you said to start with.
Sorry, Connie. Like, what did you take away from that?
To be honest, I couldn't really concentrate too well. I had to say goodbye to my girl this morning.
Oh.
She had a fall and broke her shoulder and had to take it to the vet. And the vet did an X-ray, and she had a tumor that had eaten into the bone and it broke. We didn't know, and I had to say goodbye. And all I can do is see her.
Of course.
I'm sorry, yeah. I couldn't say anything else.
But you did. I mean, you were meant to be with her.
I held her.
I mean, that's that time to do that. Can you tell us about her? I know it's hard to talk right now, but it would be lovely if you would tell us about her.
She was a rescue, which I gave a home to 12 years ago. she had been badly treated. She'd been raced into the ground, so to speak. And when I got her from the rescue, they hadn't had her very long, and she was in a terrible state, very, very skinny. And she'd been stabbed in her thigh. And it took a long while to get her to trust. She never trusted my partner, my husband, ever. And even now, she wouldn't go near him. And I did everything I could. We went to different places to take her to see other dogs so she would socialize. She would do agility, which is unusual for a greyhound. She did obedience again, which is unusual because they don't do as they're told, they just do what they want. And she did, she was a comedian, made us all laugh. She's like we were asked to teach our dog to do send away, like to go to their bed. It took me 4 years to get her to go to her bed. But she finally did. And then I learned about T-Touch from Alex two and a bit years ago. And I did it on her, not expecting to see any results because I didn't know enough at the time. And she taught me how to do the touches, how to do the pressures. And if I got it wrong, she would look with those big brown eyes as if to say, stop it, mum, you're doing it wrong. And then I would change the touch and I would do her ears and she would go like that with her head as if to say, two more. And she would help other people because I took videos of what I did and sent them in to Robin and to one or two other people. And the feedback came that they'd seen how calm she was and how still she was when I did all the wraps on her. And with her doing the T-touches, when she was lying on her bed, she would sort of look up. She had pointy ears. Greyhounds normally have, she had pointy ears like bat ears. And she would look, and I would do the circles, I would do the tiger, the lion leopard, the python, all different ones on her to try them out, but not all together. And if the ones I found she liked was the abalone, she loved that. She definitely loved the llama. And I could do the abalone on her side or down her neck and she'd sort of look and then she'd flop over as if to say, carry on, I love it. And people would see that on the videos that I sent in. And the messages I got back today was, you had a special girl. She taught you and she taught us so much. And she did. She was a one-off. And I love her dearly. So I'd love to see her again, but in my dreams, and she's always in my heart. And I will see her again one day. And we will go for walks again. And thank you for listening.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And this knowing that not the end, we just have to wait a while.
Yep. We do. Yep.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And that was perfect that you had that time to really connect with her in that way, you know, because, yeah, beautiful. Connie, thank you for sharing that.
May I say something to Connie? When I had to let go Jenya, my former dog, I went the same places, walked the same places with her. Really, you know, where I was used to make the walking. And I usually change the places. Now I do it with Kalika, but for almost 9 months I had no dog and I made the same walks. It is so nice. She was always with me. She didn't pull. She was just walking with me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll hear how that goes, Connie. Because it will be really interesting to see, you know, sometimes you feel them with you in special ways, you know, fabulous. Ah, nice. Who's got something? Gracia, we haven't heard from you for quite a while. What did you bring away from that, with that?
I was going to a willow tree and I felt a strong connection to this willow tree and the message I got was dance with the sun storms.
Beautiful. Dance with the sun storm. Mm.
I was really hugging this tree.
Beautiful. Thank you. Where's your dog?
He is here.
There you are. Hello. Oh, cool.
He's retired, I think. Now he has his ball. He has a ball with light. And he loves that. So he hopes that I will throw it. I just wanted to say that me too, I'm often in, when I'm too long in my house, it's so great that I have him, because then I have to, let's say there's always a bit of resistance to go out, especially here. It's getting cold and the weather is not so nice. And just a kick that this, how to say, to come over this resistance and just go, because he's gonna whine and make noises and complain, and so I'm forced to go. But every time I'm out, it's such a blessing to walk and move and
the thing, come on, get out, come.
yes. I mean, you told that you have to take the car because you have dogs who are dangerous nearby. So that's sometimes also another jump that you have to take.
Well, it's easy because it's maybe a 3-minute drive, not more.
Oh, okay.
Like 4 or 5 different air canals I can walk on. And
that's great.
Beautiful. I really, next time I should show you some of them, because I film them and I walk with them because they're so beautiful. So
yeah.
I put it on Facebook Live.
Super.
And it's really fun. So
yeah.
Well, Griffin and I are with other people on our walk. Really fun.
Yeah.
But what happens with when we quit doing it last week because we've had so much rain and the grass grew really long, and Griffin doesn't want the grass hitting his naked body. Mm-hmm. So I had to start walking him on the road again. But it's okay because our road's like, we have no traffic. It's sand. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And and he can be off leash because
there's
no traffic. So
The reason I wasn't there often in the last time was that I had to get up at 4 o'clock, and then I just need to go to bed early because I have to walk him at 5 o'clock. But I'm finished now and go more into care. I finished the meals on wheels now and go more in caring for people. So maybe there I can also share that tea touch more.
That will be wonderful.
Yeah.
Good. So nice to see you. Thank you. Who wants to jump in? Sandra, are you able to do anything or are you working? I think she's working. So it's nice to have her here with us, but she has to. So, Marnie, I see your hand. Oops, you're muted.
I did it on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Oh, maybe that's important. I, when and I got sidetracked about the trees, and somehow I started sorting through trees in my life and other people's lives. And I, you know, as a child, my dog and I had this huge spreading oak tree, and that we would spend a lot of time up in there together and away, and nobody ever thinks to look up that you're up there if you're quiet. And so it was a way to, you know, just to be away. And then actually one of the trees somehow I started doing trees in our lives, and there's a tree on Tommy's ranch. Tommy is my past husband. And that every generation grew up climbing in it. It's just one of those wonderful trees. And they're all connected to this tree. And the property ranch was sold because, you know, you get taxed out of it when you live in the middle of a city like Austin and have a ranch. You can't do that. It doesn't work. But part of what he did was to say it has to have some parkland. And so that tree is now at the library, in the front yard of the library, our library for this area, city library. And I, you know, the kids treat it the same way. The kids all spend time. And I mean, it's really interesting. Anyway, that's kind of, I just went off on a tree journey that was trees in our lives. I don't know. And Romanico had a tree that he really liked that we, really? Yeah. And I don't know. It was kind of different. I never thought about things that way. And I don't mean I didn't think about it, but it was a very nice. I mean, it was really.
Journey through the past trees who have touched your life.
It's wonderful, you know, trees. And sometimes you forget what they mean in your life. You know, the ones, particularly growing up and climbing trees, is so amazing. And so.
Thank you for sharing that. And I can just see that oak tree with so many kids who's climbed on its limbs. Oh, beautiful. Thank you. So, Jewel, I know you have walks around you in the woods, I believe.
I don't as much as I would like, and what you said about needing to be outside or to move. For me, it's to needing to be outside. It's finally gotten, the weather's changed a little bit so that you can actually get outside and be comfortable without, I just can't take the heat and anyway. And it's been nice to be able to just be outside. I haven't gotten, I'm about to get back into the walking thing, but this journey was interesting. For the first time, all the turtles wanted to be on my rug with me.
Oh my gosh.
It's the first time ever I mean all the turtles.
That's a lot of turtles, you.
A lot of turtles. Fortunately, you know, the rug compensates. the carpet. And for me, the tree, it was interesting. It was a very specific tree that I grew up with in our yard. And it's actually a very small tree. It's naturally a very small tree. And unfortunately, one of my tenants cut it down. And I've been thinking of trying to figure out how to replace it somewhere in my life. And to my knowledge, there are no others that like it that have come up. It's a native tree to where I grew up, but I've never seen another one there. And I have been sort of combing propagation books about how to it's a buckeye tree for any of you that are familiar with buckeyes.
Oh, really?
It's a painted buckeye, which stays very small. And the problem with buckeyes is that the seeds are very large and they have to be planted as soon as they fall. So even though I have some that, you know, I've saved since I was a child, I don't know that there's any way to do any. And the message I got was, I can't be replaced from the tree. So I'm going to probably defy that. I mean, I know I can't replace it. And maybe that's what it's trying to tell me in right. its gene pool.
Yeah.
But I can certainly find a painted buckeye and find somewhere to plant it that will be more protected.
Yes, from your neighbors. No, from your tenant. Oh my
it's
God.
A tenant.
Oh, God. Well, we'll hold that for you.
Thank you.
You will be. You'll continue your search and be successful.
Thank you.
Fantastic. So, Joy, hi, welcome. What's something special in your life with tea touch, with animals, with yourself? Speak to us.
Hi, sorry, I only just jumped on. So the special thing that I've got going on with my life and tea touch is, well, just using it so much more with my you know, my Fallen Christ clients. And in particular, I've had one who's had an open heart operation, and really all I could do was tea touch with him. And you know, he said it really, really helped him with his breathing and shoulder issues and things like that. So it's, you know, it's been fantastic. And also I've got involved with a rescue Lusitano who's totally phobic about anyone. She's had been really, really abused, so nobody can catch her. And I've just been doing the tea touch from a distance to help her, and you know, with essential oils and things. So yeah, lots of good stuff.
Lots of good stuff. Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. Anna, what was that journey for you? Joy, we just finished a guided journey.
That journey, when I think about being this little girl, always finding a tree to sing by. Every time we went on a vacation or something where there was a tree, I just wanted to sit there and hold the tree and sing. And of course, I always say, you know, I laugh and say, thank goddess for REI, because I got to take the bus from Southern California, where I grew up to Mammoth. And of course, one time I actually hiked from Mammoth all the way to Yosemite. So this idea of being connected with trees, and when I finally got married to William Blakely, we got married because we were always hiking. And of course, he always had a compost bin with earthworms. And I love the way the earthworms, I probably said this, where they dance. And so during this journey, soon as I got with the tree, that was my magic. Love. It was simply love. Love, love, love. And I just have to connect with the trees that are still alive, because I can't believe how many trees are dying through fire, just dying and being cut down. So every day I just have to pray for trees, orcas, you know, and life in general. It's been a beauty here, and I love this community. I get to just feel all my emotions. Sometimes I want to cry. Sometimes I want to giggle. Sometimes I just want to be quiet and meditate. And then other times I want to dance. So thank you so much. I just so adore this community again. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm still imagining you walking from park to park. What a great journey that was, eh? Wow. Thank you. So, who, Ava, you want to go next?
Okay. Well, I just had a feeling of gratitude of being able to see, you know, the eucalyptus and take the eucalyptus that's in the garden and take him along, and then to visualize the forest where Teresa lives all around, you know, and she's surrounded with forest and beautiful trees, and imagining that now it's autumn and it must be some beautiful colors and smell. And then I can take it all when I go swimming in the beach and in the sea every morning. And it's just a feeling of wonderful gratitude to be able to live on so many planes, as you were saying, and then the Zoom community that is so enriching. And it just, I feel very lucky and very grateful.
Thank you. Beautiful. Megan.
Sorry. Oh, you know I didn't make it. The last thing I remember, what is it with that, was when we were starting on the magic carpet, and I was thinking, gee, why is my carpet like purple and green pastel? I was like, that's almost like pink and green. But anyway, and then I realized how large it is and why, because all the horses have to get on it. And that's the last thing. That's the last thing I remember, darn it, because I would have loved to experience a big tree, but I don't know what it is, but out like a light. I'm sorry. I really apologize.
Maybe, no, you don't have to apologize. Maybe you were on a journey and you just don't remember it.
It could be, as it was in the subconscious for sure.
Right.
Yeah. But okay, better luck next time. Sorry. Okay. But yeah, I have to say one thing. It's so beautiful hearing everyone else's shares. They're just beautiful, all of them. And so I'm really grateful that I got to hear all that. Yeah.
That's lovely. Thank you. So Teresa must have had to do something. Maybe she'll come back on. I would like to, I'd like to actually read another couple of paragraphs from this Bringers of the Dawn. And one of the reasons is, it's just, I said it the last time, did anybody by any chance hear any more about that? Now I forget the name of the big, telescope that was able to see other universes. It's something like, it's four-legged, like Webb. It's the Webb telescope, I believe. Did you hear about it, Jewel?
It's the James Webb telescope. I'm not following it, but I think you can actually follow what it's seeing.
The thing that was just so stunning to me, that on the documentary, on the news, was what they're saying is in this book, that we're in one universe, but there are many, many universes.
Yeah.
And that's what that Webb found. I mean, and the images are stunning. I mean, unbelievable, the pictures that it's sending back. To the openings that they had no clue, no proof. I don't know about clues, but there were no proof until this telescope that we're just in one universe. Interesting. And she, Barbara Marciniak, wrote about this up in the Pleiadians, like this was in the 40 years ago. So, oops, I've got to get my glasses here to just read you a couple of paragraphs. And I wonder who was it that was reading that book that was so far out. It was quite a few months ago. And it was when the people were changing dimensions and going from their human dimension into being other parts, other beings in other parts of the universe. Was there any of you? I have to think of the name of the book. I couldn't stay with it. It was so much details that seemed like, I don't need to read all this. Did you say something, Jewel? Okay. But it was like this book, and it was like many universes. So I'm going to read this again, just as one paragraph, and then go to a second one, but I'm going to sneeze in a minute. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm going to. Ah, darn, I love sneezing. Didn't work. So, we Pleiadians come from the future. In a version of our now, there exists a place of tyranny and turmoil. And we have seen probable futures of Earth that include that same tyranny and decay. Remember, this was written like 40 years ago. Time is greatly misunderstood in third dimensional reality. You believe that time is measured in minutes or degrees. Time is much vaster than you realize. In actuality, time codes and time plays with information, allowing you to move into reality simultaneously by stretching, distorting, curving, and twisting time around. And that's what I was meaning when I said, you can leave yourself there and come back here. You can get on an elliptical curve of time and experience many realities by simply going around the elliptical curve and discovering that as time is not solid, neither is reality. And that's been written about, you know, for years, that time is actually all one time. As all realities are not solid, and as the future is not set, it is only a number of probabilities, we see an opportunity at this time to insert a more positive possibility for Earth. We wish to reinsert light on this planet and restore Earth to its original purpose, that of being a magnificent intergalactic exchange center of information. So we have come back in a section of time to a place we call a kernel or a seed in order to affect change. This change will not only affect Earth, it will affect your future, our present, and the entire universe. And the reason I just like to read these in short segments, the fact that we meet here every week and that we're choosing to look at practicing, looking at the glass half full instead of half empty, that's a really big deal. And I keep forgetting to send a text to Lily Merklin, because she is one of our practitioners who's a psychologist, and she was saying in a call recently that 95% of people on the planet choose to see the glass half empty. That's just the way they are. And only 5%, choose to look at the what's the good thing that comes out of this situation, no matter what it is. I mean, it's like Connie losing this wonderful being from your life. But the high side of that is you had her for 12 years. I mean, when we choose to hold on to that instead of the loss, that actually makes a difference on the planet. Every thought we have, every choice that we make does make a difference. And I love this book because it affected me and many, many other people I know when we read it, like, I think it was 35 years ago. Changed our perspective on life. So I'll just read one more paragraph. So this idea that these realities that we choose and how we choose to see things will not only affect Earth, it will affect your future, our present, meaning the Pleiadians and the entire universe. This is big news. You've come to Earth at a place in time when evolution is at hand. A major leap is about to take place that you came to participate in. And you're not alone, for many energies are coming to Earth now to participate in this great project. And just think of this concept of what Moshe Feldenkrais brought to the world as a scientist, that he realized how we could affect our brains, our inner beings, from just these gentle movements that he developed. There are motherships surrounding this planet that are acting as literal transductors of energy. There are beams of light coming to Earth from old and ancient star systems that have been working with you for eons. These beams of information are being blasted onto the planet. As this information is being beamed to you, your body must be able to receive it, transduce it, house it, and beam it back out to others. Many of you will build telepathic links with these motherships that will be like having your own radio stations through which you can be able to tune into a wealth of information at will. This is the evolution of our super consciousness, the evolution into the higher aspects of the being. You do not need to worry about becoming this being, for you already are, and you just need to remember it. So I'll just leave this with you. Something will come to you in your dreams. Were any of you into, or are any of you into, what did they call it? I never was into it, so I can never remember the name. You know, that show where they're out in the universe in spaceships. What is it? It's the most popular. Everybody, you know, big movie stuff.
Star Trek? Star Wars?
Yes, Star Trek. Star Trek. Was anybody, any of you into Star Trek? No, I wasn't either.
Well, the original, but I'm not into all the new.
I used to watch the original one.
Yeah.
I'm into the original. Interesting. Because that's actually so much more real than you can imagine. Fascinating.
Mm.
So, my dears, let's end with a heart hug, and let's do this heart hug as we move our body. How many ways can we move our body? And Ava, lying down this morning, I discovered something new. I could move my pelvis like back and forth. I never tried that before. It's really a cool feeling. Your body stays straight, and you just move your pelvis. And that moves your feet back and forth. I had so much fun doing that before I did my daily session on Roland. And it felt, wow, this is something cool. So I'm going to see what I can. Can I? This is like rubbing your head and patting your stomach. I don't know that I can do this. I don't know that I can do the heart head and move my shoulders. No, I can't. I have to do a heart hug and then a. I'm doing one of these figure eight movements in my shoulders. Kind of fun. Then I'll do one last. Hey, Jewel, you're doing great. It's kind of fun. And then I can move my pelvis at the same time. I'm making these figure eights with my pelvis and then with my shoulders. And I can do it with my chin.
No.
That's kind of fun. And like, how still can I keep my body and just move my chin? And then I can move my shoulders in the figure eight and then my pelvis, but everything else moves.
And the eyes.
And then the other direction, that's kind of cool with the figure eight in the other direction. Okay. Onward into the night and into dream space for many of you and for you in North America.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Linda, yes? do we meet with you and Eleanor like the second Saturday in October?
Yes.
Do we know yet?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Right? Yes. Thank you
for that. Right, awesome.
Yep.
Great. See you next Tuesday.
Thank you. Sandra.
Ciao. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
End the recording.